Amen. Children up through grade one can go on down to kids worship. And the rest of you, we're going to be going through our series on mindset. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things or things on the earth. And in order to do that, you know, we saw last week that God doesn't decide what we think and Satan doesn't decide what we think. Who controls what you think? You do. And that's why Scripture tells us, gird your mind for actions. Here, set your mind on things above. That's why Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive and bring it in to obedience to Christ. Make it listen under Christ. And we've been looking through this idea of our mindset and setting our mind toward the right things. And at the beginning of this month, we talked about gratitude and how we can develop a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude to God and for the people around us and the things that He has done in our life. We saw very clearly that the Scripture says this is God's will for our life, that we express thankfulness and gratitude in all things. And then we talked about humility and humbly receiving the Word of God. And when you're a grateful person, you begin to realize that you don't deserve everything that you have, and there's a heart of humility that comes in. And when you begin to have a mindset through humility, then you can begin to embrace God's truth, and you can receive God's truth and let it be planted in your life. We talked about God's truth last week, and then this week, we're going to talk about this word called honor. Now, a mindset, as you see there in your notes, is a set of beliefs or a way of thinking that determines one's behavior, outlook, and mental attitude. And another verse that we've used here is in Philippians 2:5. It says, in your relationships, your mindset should be that of Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ in your life. And so we really need the Holy Spirit to be working in our life. And today we're going to talk about this idea of a mindset on honor. You know, as Americans, the concept of honor was very, very much a part of the very inception and formation of this nation. In fact, at the end of the Declaration of Independence, its signers pledged, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And more than two centuries later, we seem rather disconnected from the meaning of those last two words, sacred honor. The Bible teaches us that man is not central in theology, but rather God is. God is creator. He is central to all of life. Honor is important in a society because if we want the blessings of heaven, that it should be understood that the only way to receive the blessings of honor is to give honor or place value on the right things and honor to the God of heaven. And yet we're moving in our society, and you'll see this cultural shift. You're seeing it happen before your eyes and hearing it through your various news feeds. We're moving to a society of the individual rather than a regard for God, a regard for authority, a regard to honor. The dominant word today to describe America and our electorate is not honor. You know what it is? Anger. Americans are angry, and with good reason to be angry, but here's what we need to know. We need to have the mindset of Christ. The Bible tells us very clearly in the book of James, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We're not going to make this country right by being angry, but by honoring, placing value on the right things. The Bible teaches us this truth over and over again. And instead, we should develop gratitude, humility, truth, and honor. Now, it's no secret that Americans hold many in public office right now in pretty low esteem. There is no doubt that there's multiple reasons of this. One of the reasons could be that they detect a lack of honor in those that are in elected office, and certainly we see that. But I also want to suggest to you, could it be as well that we have lost the meaning and importance of honor as expectations not just for others, but for ourselves as well? Franklin Roosevelt pondered the impact of honor on whether people would trust their government, and he said this: confidence thrives on honesty, on honor, on sacredness of obligations, on faithful protection, and unselfish performance. Without them, we cannot live. And in politics today, the narrative is being written that the only honor is in winning at whatever cost. So if it's winning through lying, changing your position, or breaking your vows, whatever it takes to win, then so be it. And the electric doesn't honor, not the electric, the electorate doesn't expect honor of our politicians. And I would suggest because we have lost the concept of honor in our daily lives. You know, this is the very core at who we are as followers of Christ. In fact, our mission statement says that Concordia Wesleyan Church exists to build a community of believers to honor Jesus Christ in our daily lives and to share His love with everyone. And I would argue that to honor Jesus Christ in our daily lives is the hinge pin of those other two concepts. You cannot build a community of believers without honoring Jesus Christ. You cannot share the love of Christ with everyone without first understanding you need to honor Jesus Christ in your daily life. We are living in an age where we are seeing the death of this concept of honor. And that's why we need to view it again today and to look at what God told us. You know, the Bible tells us in the last days, this is in 2 Timothy 3, here's how it describes people in the last days. It says, people will be greedy, lovers of self, lovers of money, arrogant, abusive, irreconcilable. And you can see all of those things, but then notice this one here. It seems out of sorts in here, but it's very key to the concept of honor. You're going to see all those nasty things going on, but then it says, and they'll be disobedient to parents. They'll be ungrateful, unholy. They will consider nothing sacred. They won't honor anything but themselves. Verse 3 goes on, they'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, and they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Well, I've got good news for you today. This isn't just going to be me blasting about what's happening in culture, because here's the best news you're going to hear today. The answer that the Bible gives us is not a political answer. What is happening is a spiritual need and a spiritual moving away. And God says, if my people will humble themselves and if they'll pray and they'll seek my face, that God is going to move in our hearts and lives. And listen, I can't control the mind of everybody else. God doesn't call me to control the mind of everyone else, nor for you to change my mind or control anybody else's mind, but to set your mind on the things that honor God. And so today we're going to talk about having a mindset of honor. Now let's look at what do we mean when we say the word honor. That word honor, biblically in the Bible, means to be heavy, to glorify, to ascribe value and worth, to hold in high regard. As you see it being translated throughout the Old and the New Testament, in the Old Testament, that word was used to describe a very heavy person. It was also used to describe a really full set of hair, you know, thick hair. Interesting enough, 13 times it's mentioned, it's that same derived word, a root word, is used to describe the liver of an animal, because it was believed that the liver was the weightiest of the organs at time. But over time, it began to show it was of significance and of importance. And it carries away in our ways in which that we talk. We talk about a person that has incredible influence. We say, that person carries a lot of weight with me. But that's really something we ought to put our stock in. We really value their opinion. What you're saying is that their opinion, their belief system, or what they're doing has a weighty effect upon you. Its antonym in the Bible has the opposite term. It expresses contempt, to curse, to despise, to dishonor. Treating a person as though their opinion didn't matter. In other words, again, this phrase, they're lightweight. You know, just kind of flick them off, okay? They're so light. I don't value that much. So when we read in Romans chapter 12, these words, verse 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. Do not follow the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do you do that? It goes and starts talking about how that begins to work out in our life. And in verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Value one another. Give weight to one another. Hold in high regard one another above yourself. You know, some of you do this when we have a potluck. Because you'll come up to me and you'll say, Pastor, this is what I made and it has no onions in it. You know what you're doing? You're valuing my taste over you. And I just want to be the first to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay? Or if you, here's another way to honor me. This isn't about honor me, but say, hey, I made this dish and it has onions galore in it. Don't eat it. Okay? It's honor me. Okay? What are you thinking? You're thinking about others as you're doing that. Now listen, if you love onions, God loves you, and so do I. Okay, all right. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be patient, or be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We've had this verse that we've kind of had almost in everything. In your relationships, in your mindset, have the same mindset of Christ. And I want to think, before we talk about God calling us whom we should honor, I just want you to realize how much honor God has placed upon you. Because one of the questions we ask ourselves is, how do I honor people I disagree with? How do I honor people that do things I just totally don't like and don't agree with? And I want to just remind us about part of our gratitude is that God didn't wait for us to clean up before He gave us honor. He sent His one and only Son. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you and I are the recipients of a God who gave us honor, who placed value upon us when we were doing things He didn't agree with, when we were doing things that were in violation to what God had called us to do. And while we were yet sinners, Christ valued us by shedding His blood on the cross for our sins. Realize this in any command of God. Jesus did it first. He did it for you and I. So as we wrestle with how do I give honor to people I disagree with, or I disagree so much and they brought dishonor upon God and upon our family, understand that when you wrestle with these things, remember too, that you once, Bible tells us, we were enemies of God, separated from Him. We weighed heavy on Christ's mind when He was on the cross. So this first one, by the way, you are probably going to disagree with something in this message today. I almost guarantee it, okay? But you know how I know that? It's because I looked at some of this stuff of people I'm supposed to honor and I disagreed with it. I say, God, are you serious? Because there's some things I disagree with. I have differences of opinion. But listen, we need to pray that the Spirit of God would help us to understand. Now, this first one, everyone's going to agree with. I set my mind to honor God. Everyone who is called by my name, the Lord said, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. The glorious God who is complete and whole and righteous all by Himself. He did not need us. He was complete in of Himself. He is a glorious God. God. That word glory means brightness. It means it's derived from the same type of word, a root word, that means he was weighty in and of himself. He created man for his glory. And that man would then in turn give him glory or honor. In fact, when we look at the word worship, sometimes you'll have glory, honor, and praise put simultaneously right next to each other in the Bible. That word worship comes from the word that means worth-ship. You are worthy, so I give you my worship. I honor you in what I'm doing. And so you'll see passages of Scripture like 1 Chronicles 16, 28 to 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, honor, and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and honor. Do his name. He is glorious. He is due the glory, but you are able to give him glory. Bring an offering of thanksgiving and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And this, as a follower of Christ, is to work into every arena of our life. It's just not when we gather in corporate worship or when we have a prayer that we bring glory to God, but in places like 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do. Anybody like to eat and drink here? Okay. Well, and whatever you do in your daily life, you are to do it all for the glory of God. When you live for the honor of God, you are a better spouse. You're a better child. You're a better worker. You're just better in life because you begin to live and do things and you see things through God's eyes. See, here's the truth. When I'm set to honor God, is what I value is shown in how I live. Already, what you honor in your life is shown in the way that you live. It's shown in the way that you use your money. It's shown in the way you use your resources and gifts and talents and abilities. It's shown in how what you find time to do. Because here's the hard truth. We find time to do the things that are important to us. You don't believe me? Not that you don't, but that's a rhetorical question. Look at the things that you will change your schedule for to make sure that you get done. See, what you value is already being shown in what you live. And the question for the child of God is, what does my behavior show that I really value? Because it's not what I say that I value, but it's how I live my life. This is throughout Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1. So we keep on praying. We asking God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way that you live. The reality of this passage of Scripture is Christ is honored or he is being dishonored by the way that you live. Your works don't get you to heaven. They never did, never could, and never will. You're saved by grace, but how you live either brings honor to God or dishonor to God. You do that by what you say, by what you do, and what you don't do. You will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, this familiar passage of Scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Notice this next phrase, and do not lean on your own understanding. What do you do when you lean? You put your weight on it. It's the same idea. Don't value your own understanding over that of God's. There are going to be times when you disagree with God. And who wins out in your life at that point in time? Don't rely. Don't put your weight upon your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Humble yourself. Submit to him, and he will make your path straight. By the way, then it goes and begins sharing what that would look like. Verse 9 says, you honor the Lord with what he's given you. You honor him with your wealth. You honor him because what you value will be shown in the way that you live and your priorities in life. Okay? So we want to be people. When we set our mind to honor, we want to honor God. But it also sets our, we will set our mind to honor obedience. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. In another place, he didn't let us just do the acts. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. and they're really dishonoring me. They're saying one thing and they're doing another. They're telling other people how to live rightly and they're not living rightly themselves. They worship me in vain, he says, and their teachings are merely human rules. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of that very godliness that they're talking about. And as you look through Scripture, here's what you understand. Obedience has at least three qualities. Obedience, first of all, is immediate. If you don't do it right away, you know, delayed obedience is disobedience. And so there's no such thing as a delayed obedience. If God is speaking to you about some area in your life, do it immediately. And you'll see throughout Scripture, Abraham, when he was given the command of God to go and take his son, said he rose up early the next morning. He went and he took the donkey and the lad, and they began to go. Immediate obedience. Here's another quality of obedience. It's complete. There's no such thing as 80% obedience. You're either obedient or you're not. We understand this, and we have kids and grandkids and stuff, and we tell them, okay, we're going to have a snack, and we're going to have some popcorn, and we'll sit down and we'll watch a movie, but you need to pick up your toys first. And so then, you know, they go into the room, and 30 seconds later, they came out and they say, I'm all done. You highly doubt that, but okay, you say, is that all done? Did they pick up their toys? And you go in there, and you start seeing the toys in the room, and you say, you didn't pick up your toys. And they said, I picked up that one. And you said, that's not obedience. Let's pick up the room. Let's put things back where they belong. It's complete. There's no such thing as partial obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. And then it's done with a right heart. This is the biblical idea of obedience, is that we don't obey because we have to. We obey because we want to. We want to please our Father. There's a desire to obey. See, there's a difference between obedience and honoring. You can obey the letter of the law. It's like the proverbial idea of the kid who's told to stand in the corner, and he says, and you see the little bubble says, I'm standing on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside. And there's a lot of people that do the right things, but they do it with a wrong heart, and God says that is disobedience. Obedience is the starting point, but it must move to the desire, to the reflex of your heart. And if that heart reflex is not there to bring honor to God, then there is an issue that needs to be dealt with between you and God. This is carried over into the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Okay, obey your parents. But then he says, let's take it a step further. Honor your father and mother. Esteem them. Notice that in the Amplified it says, esteem and value as precious your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that all may be well with you and you may live in the long on the earth. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. In other words, parents, live in a way that is worthy of that honor, but rear them in the training, the discipline, and the counsel of the Lord. It's again in Colossians 3:20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is pleasing, well-pleasing to the Lord. Could I say it this way? This is honoring to the Lord. It is whatever you do, you're bringing glory to God. Now let's just talk about obedience for a little bit, because it's easier to obey than it is to honor. You know, you can obey and still be rebellious. You can obey and still hate. But there must come a time when the obedient acts are motivated by an internal inclination of the heart to desire what the mom or dad actually wants. And this is this concept of honor, of respect, obedience, love, responding with obligation to our parents. It's how we ought to respond to God. Here's what we've been saying. It is possible to obey and still not honor. However, it is impossible to honor without obeying. And I think any parent would probably have these two main things as they are trying to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of God. You first of all want that child to be able to come to you for any reason and talk about anything they want. And if they're young, you want them to be able to come and to sit on your lap and to feel safe and secure. But what you also want is you want that relationship to be so that if they are doing something wrong and you give them the look, they will stop immediately because they respect and honor that parental role in the relationship that you have. And that's the same kind of relationship that God wants with us. That He wants us to have the comfort of His love and being filled with His grace and His mercy in our life and peace and joy and all those things that we desire, that we would gravitate to. But when God puts a finger on a thought in our life that's not right, or an attitude, or a way that we talk to somebody, or an action, and God says, "This is not pleasing to me," that we will stop immediately. And we say, "God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Fill me with your presence, with a desire to obey you." You know, God, as He formed a nation, gave the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. And we know that those first four deal with our relationship with God, and the last six deal with our relationship with one another. It's the fulfillment of the law is why Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And the second command is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So what God said is, number one is your relationship with God. "And you will have no other gods before me. You honor me above all other gods," because you will have a tendency to make idols in your own heart. "Have no other God before me." He said, "Don't make a graven image. Don't make me into something that I am not. Honor my character for who I am." He said, "Don't take my name in vain. Honor my name." Jesus taught us, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name." And then He says, "Honor my day. Honor a day that you set apart for me. Honor that." And in doing so, you're honoring God. But then you know what? That comes over into how you live in your regular relationships. And you know what number five is? These people were getting ready to go in and to battle and claim a land that God had given them, but they were going to have battles, Jericho and Ai and other, and they weren't trained for that. And He doesn't tell them that the most important thing that they need to do is to show their soldiers how to fight, and business people how to make money, and teachers how to teach, and how their priests should be able to preach. But you know what He says? The first one in building a society that is built upon honoring God is this. Number five, honor your father and mother. Because if you will do that, this nation will survive. This nation will begin to understand, because God has placed the family as the first representative of who He is and the authority of God in His life. And I would say this, if you dishonor your mom and dad, you're going to have a very difficult time trying to honor God. What does it go on to say? Honor life. Don't murder. Honor yourself and honor the institutions of God. Honor marriage. Don't commit adultery. Honor other people's things. Don't steal. These are the things that we struggle with in this world of sin and society. It's why we have police, is because people violate these things all the time. We need protections upon us. It's why I believe it's one of the reasons why this is the first commandment. It will give you a long, long price. But the values, if you will honor your parents, if we will learn how to do that and work it out into our daily life, the values that hold together a nation will be that of decency and kindness and integrity, courtesy, morality, and it begins at home. I think it's why it's significant that we, as a vision statement for our church, say that we believe that God has called us into this part of North Central Kansas, and a specific role is to ignite hope for families. Igniting hope for families. Because the way to destroy a people is to destroy and to break down the family unit. And the way children destroy a family is by dishonoring their parents. Could I say this? We're all children. If you know Jesus Christ, you're a personal Savior, you are a child of God. And God says, honor me. Do this. Now, let's go on. I will also set my mind to honor those in authority. And we continue on with the parent theme here in Proverbs 23, but we're going to spread this out into to more. You know, the Bible, I couldn't put them on here. The Bible tells us to honor those who are elderly and give them right thing. But here it says, listen to your fathers who gave you life and don't despise your mother when she's old. Get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom and discipline and good judgment. The father of godly children has cause for joy. Why is obedience so important? What you don't understand is that when you obey, these are the things that you're building into your life. It is wise to respect God's appointed authority. And in so doing, you will develop a discipline and a wisdom in your life that is uncommon in this world. And you will gain good judgment. Therefore, what a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. Oh, my son, give me your heart. In other words, incline it. Don't just make this outward obedience. Give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. So let's talk about this for a little bit. I said earlier that Jesus did everything before he called us to do it. You know, he lived a life of honor. He placed honor on dishonorable people by dying for us on the cross. Did Jesus give authority to his mother and father? And just follow this. In Luke 2:51, it says this. When he was 12 years old, he then returned to Nazareth with Joseph and Mary and was obedient to them. Now, let's just think about this. This is the Son of God. This is the perfect child being obedient to his parents. Which makes me ask these questions. Did Jesus obey his parents because they were always right? No. You know who was always right? Jesus. And he still obeyed his parents. Did Jesus obey his parents because they knew more than he did? Nope. Here he was at 12 years old teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He knew more than they did. Did Jesus obey his parents because they were morally superior to him? No, he was the only one without sin. But he obeyed them because God had given them to him, and obeying them, he was honoring the Father. Which makes me ask the other question. Did Jesus ever disobey his parents? Did he ever have this conflict where obeying mom and or dad would make me dishonor or not live up to the call of God in my life? And you know what the answer to that is? Yes. Let me tell you where it's at. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, Jesus is with his own, he's a man, he started his ministry here, and things are kind of ramping up here in his hometown, and people are saying he's crazy, and he's possessed by a demon, and all of this, and so I think Mary and the brothers, their heart was right. They say, let's get Jesus out of here, and let's just, you know, get some R&R a little bit, and maybe kind of refocus a little bit. It says in Mark 3:21, Mary and Jesus' brothers came to get him. And they came to get him because he was accused of being insane and out of his mind. And then you have this process that you go through, and then you get to verse 31 to 35, and people come to Jesus, and they say, hey, your mom and your brothers are outside. They're here to get you. And here's what Jesus said. Who is my mother, my brother, and my sisters, but those who do the will of God? And Jesus didn't go with his mom. He continued teaching and preaching and healing. There does come a time where if obedience to your parents dishonors and disobeys God, then you must choose God. But listen, if you're told to take out the trash, that does not dishonor God. Okay? We think we want to choose what those areas are. Okay? Okay, we really covered mom and dad and that, but it's the primary authority that God has given us. We got to get responding to our parents right so we can respond to God properly. Here are some areas where it gets even a little more difficult for many in this room. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves to the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor or to the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Now, when Peter was writing, he was writing during a time where the emperor and the government was killing Christians. Verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the arrogant talk of foolish people. You know how I want to silence the foolish talk of people? I want to talk over them. But here he's saying, you honor those that are in authority. You honor your elected officials. You bring honor to them, not because, listen, the command to honor is given to us and we need it because people do dishonoring things all the time. If it was instinctive within us, the command wouldn't need to be. It's just keep on honoring like you do. This is a mindset. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor or honor the king. This isn't an isolated place, Romans 13. Many passages in those verses, but part of it says, give to everyone what you owe them, pay your taxes and your government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Augustine, the church father, said that government is a necessary evil, and that is necessary because of evil. And many scholars have said through the history of the church have said that human evil is the reason even corrupt government is better than no government at all. We do not want to get to the place where everyone does what is right in their own eyes. And the institution of the government and the function of the government is given to restrain evil and to maintain, uphold, and protect the sanctity of life and of property. And the Christian then would understand and embrace the truth that God ordains government. You look through the Old Testament, he worked even heathen governments. So there may come times when we must obey God rather than man, but these are not personal preferences that we pick and we choose. God works his plan even through the corrupt government. In fact, Peter and John one time were called in, and after Jesus raised from the dead and he had ascended into heaven, and the authorities there said, you stop preaching the name of Jesus. So obedience then was going to conflict with honoring God. And here's what they said. Whether it's right in your eyes or not, you be the judge. But we cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and what we have heard, and we must obey God rather than man. So there is a time for civil disobedience. Civil disobedience. But trying to disobey in dishonoring ways is not the way of God. We have to honor those that are in authority. In fact, Jesus is our example in this. Here he was on Trump charges, you know, being falsely accused, dragged before Pilate three different times, twice with Pilate and one with another government official. And Pilate looks at him square in the eyes. He says, Jesus, don't you know that I have the power to kill you? You know what Jesus said? Pilate, you would have no power over me had it not been given to you from on high. And the ones that have delivered me over into your hands have a greater sin. Jesus recognized he gave honor to the position of Pilate, yes, to even give him the death sentence. But he said, you wouldn't have this authority if it wasn't for my Father. And I'm going to honor him and I'm going to be obedient to him, even obedient to death, death on a cross. Not only in government, but listen, as you read those things, as I read this, sometimes I didn't say amen when I read these things about honoring because I get really frustrated with what's going on in our politics and all that kind of stuff. But I at least said ouch. I said, ouch, God, you're going to have to do a work in my heart. Because quite honestly, your pastor who said, if you don't vote, don't pray, wanted to sit this one out. But my conscience and my walk with Christ will not allow me to do so. So I'm praying for wisdom from God. God, you said if anyone lacks wisdom, you will give to him liberally and without reproach. So give me your wisdom. 1 Timothy 5:17, here's another place. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially for those who work is preaching and teaching. And I didn't put that in there because I thought you guys needed to encourage me a little bit more. I put it in there because it's the truth of God's word. And those that give the word of God to you and are faithful, they are to be considered of double honor. You put weight upon them. You put value upon them. They do a lot of things wrong. We make mistakes. We do all that stuff. But because God has placed them within the most important agency of the church, the body of Christ, you honor them because you are honoring God. And one of those mistakes is I didn't get the next slide in here. Okay? So give me double the grace. Okay? I will set my mind to honor God's will in my life. Not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What does this look like? Don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a price. He honored you when he bought you with the blood of Jesus Christ. So you must honor God with your body. You honor him with what, you know, your body doesn't care that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. What your body does, you decide what it's going to do. And so honor God with your body. In the context of this, it's talking about sexual morality and don't give yourself over to sexual immorality. It said again in Hebrews 13:4, the marriage bed is to be valued. It's to be given, marriage is to be held in honor by all. The institution of God, marriage, one man and one woman for life should be valued, and you ought to value it and honor it in life. And that happens before you are married, keeping yourself pure before the marriage day. And then it says, and the marriage bed should be remain undefiled. You be faithful to each other because this is God's protection for society. For fornicators, those who have sex before marriage, and adulterers, those who have sex with somebody else besides the one that they're married, God will judge. And in his judgment, he wants to look through the eyes and the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Run to the cross, embrace the cross, accept the forgiveness, and thank God, even when I was dishonoring you, you honored me, and even right now, you offer me forgiveness of sins. 2 Corinthians 2:19-21, I'll just tell you this real quick. I was giving honor to my mom here. I remember in her Bible, it says, purity comes before power. Purity before power. You will see that being a vessel of honor to God, and then you will be set aside, ready, prepared for every good work. But let's end this message right now with Romans 12:9-12. Love must be sincere. You need to hate what's evil and cling to what's good and be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above yourselves, never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I would suggest to you that people that do those things have set their mind on things that are above and not just here on earth. They are people who have set their mind to live a life of gratitude. They are people who set their mind to humility, being thankful for the blessings that God has poured in and the people he has put into their life and the grace that they have received. They humbly receive God's word. And they have a bent toward the truth. And they said, God, I'm going to lean into the truth, even when it cuts against the grain of my own rebellion, my own preferences. I want to be set apart as God's in truth. Because, God, I want to honor you in my daily life. And so I'll set my life to live this life of honor. And I will see it in my daily things. You know, when I think about honor, I think of the experiences that I have with my brother. You know, my brother got a lot better when he got older. Okay? You know, we have a lot of stories when we were growing up, but I just love being with him right now because he shows me what honored is, how he talks about his wife, his kids. But here's the main thing I noticed. When we were selling my dad's stuff and there were people coming in, every person that came in wearing a hat that said they were in the Vietnam War, in the military, whatever, he went up and he would have a side conversation with them and thank them. This wasn't for me. This is something he does on a regular basis. Every time I was in a restaurant with Dan, he would look around to see if there was a hat of a veteran somewhere around. And then he would call the waitress over and he goes, I'd like to get their meal. Don't tell them it was that. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking for my brother who taught me how to apply that principle of honor in daily life, this through the daily routine. And you can do that way. It might not be a veteran. It might be with a police officer. It might be with a school teacher. It might be a Sunday school teacher. It may be something that you say, a nurse or something, and you say, I'm going to go out of my way to give them honor because I value what you are doing. And I'm thankful that God gave you the gifts and the abilities and the know-how to do what you're doing. Let's pray. Father, your word tells us that you want us to present to you a heart of wisdom. And wisdom says, I can't have my way. My way is rebellious. My way is tainted. My way is judgmental. And so, Holy Spirit, apply this message to where we need it today. And may it change the way that we begin thinking about various institutions and or things or behaviors in our life or others. And may we begin to be thankful and humble, truthful with ourselves and with others, and people that give honor and place our weight, lean upon and rely upon the right principles in life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.